Hey, it's Azure Friday, and we're here with Guangyang, who is going to talk to me about what API apps are.
Yes, nice to be here, Scott. So API app is one of the app types that we released with Azure App Services back in March. So the kind of the goal is to help you to build APIs on Azure easier. So it is running together with Azure Web Apps. It's actually hosting your code in Azure Web Apps. It's very familiar with you from a developing and managing perspective, but it gave you a lot of API-related capabilities like authentications and cores and API definition code gen.
So let's dig into that for a little bit, because I have APIs now, and I put them in Azure Web Apps. Git deploy them or I publish them from Visual Studio, and they aren't API apps in the Azure sense, but they certainly are apps that have APIs.
Yes, exactly. So all these existing ways that you are building an APIs and deploy them into web apps, so that still exists, that still apply with API app because the foundation is web app. But today, if you build your own API and host it in a web app, there is no kind of a unified way to describe what our API look like. So there is no unified API definition, and it doesn't really help you much with authentication per se. So if you want to have like OAuth authentication, let's say with AAD or with Twitter or Facebook.
I would write that myself.
Yes, you need to write by yourself. But all these the API definitions, and we can do interesting on top of that code gen using AutoREST. And the authentication is that it's a big pain point. Different auth providers have different authentication mechanisms. So we want to extract that away from you so you don't need to worry about it in your code. You just need to configure it in our platform.
Okay. So I've done OAuth before with my apps that are APIs, and I usually end up with about that much code for the API and about that much code for the auth. So you're saying that that's just not the business that I should be in.
Right, exactly. And so from our perspective, so our feeling is that your code should only think about the business logic. You don't need to think about, you don't need to write special code to deal with what kind of authentication you want. And to even bring it further, sometimes some applications, some APIs, you want to enable multiple authentication. Like you want people to log in, to be able to log in with Google, with Facebook, with Twitter altogether. And you know, in an enterprise world, you may have on-premises AD or like Azure Active Directory in the cloud. All these kind of authentication providers want to extract away from you. So then, you know, in your code, you just say, "Hey, I know my API is protected, and I can actually get to the user context of who is logged in from my code with a consistent way if I want. So I can then check the user context and you know implement my business logic."
So I could theoretically take existing applications that I have that have APIs that maybe users have been using with either code that I wrote to authenticate them or they're anonymous, and if I'm going to start tightening up security around all of my apps, I can go and do it like all on Azure Active Directory or all on OAuth or all against Twitter authentication and not change any code.
Right, so that's exactly right. And one of the trends we've seen as well is that people are starting to building their application backend or API backend as smaller components, so the so-called microservice architecture, right? So then you can kind of manage them separately, you can provision them separately, you can scale them separately. Now all these small API components, you can imagine them as API apps, small API apps, and we actually have kind of a central place where you can manage and specify what kind of authentication you want for all of them. So you don't need to say, I need to configure AAD in here, for this API app and for that API app is all your backend, so we really want to just configure in one place and you get the goodness for all.
And then you factor in things like API management and et cetera. You can get really, really granular security at the low level, on the operation level, or at the high level, you know, protect the entire application.
Yes, yes, that's a good point.
So what do these look like in Visual Studio or in the Azure portal?
Yeah, so we'll start with Azure portal and then I'll dig in a little bit into Visual Studio.
Okay.
So this is the Azure portal, Azure preview portal, nice and easy. So we start from browse all API apps. So in here in all browse, you see that there is a new thing called API apps.
Okay.
So these are the API apps in my subscription. So I have a lot. I have Dropbox, Facebook.
And the locations and the pricing tiers, this all looks familiar because these are, you know, the same ones that we use already, right? You can put it in the same locations where your existing resources are.
Yes, yes. So the price tier is the app service price tier. So you can actually have, you know, web apps and mobile apps and API apps all run in the same tier, in the same location. You can compose them nicely. So that's familiar to you. And if I click in one of the API apps, let's say the sales record API, which I'm going to use in my later demos. So you can see if I go in here, so there is an API definition blade. So you click into API definition, here it actually show you what kind of API you have in here. So in this very simple one, I only have like a get sales record API, so it's supposed to get back the sales record I have in my system.
So API apps, unlike web apps, know about Swagger, they know about the API definition, and then that one get there, that is a representation of that Swagger.
Right. And you can download the Swagger file if you want. Click this button, and you can play with it. You can import it into API Management if you want. So you can generate client SDKs using AutoREST. And actually, we have a pretty nice integration in Visual Studio tooling where we can help you to right-click a project and generate the client SDK based on the Swagger automatically. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And you've also noticed that I have like Dropbox connector, I have Facebook connector, I have Twitter and Twilio connector. Now all these connectors, I'm not deploying them or building them by myself. And actually, if we go back here and look at Azure Marketplace under web and mobile.
So these are API apps that I can basically get for free and drop into my existing Azure App Service.
Yes. So you see here, like under web and mobile, there is an API app category, and there are a bunch of out-of-box API apps for you to use already. We have like Office 365 connector, which help you to connect to Office 365, Salesforce. We have Twitter, Dropbox, and there are much more if you click the More button right here.
Oh, FTP and Slack and BizTalk.
Yes.
And any API app, whether it be one that comes out of the Azure Marketplace or one that I make, now they get to participate in the Logic App kind of workflow in the cloud, don't they?
Yes. And Logic App is another kind of app service provides. And there's a tight integration between API apps and Logic Apps. You think of Logic Apps as a cloud orchestration to build your business logic using a very simple template, JSON-based template language. And each action in this workflow definition, you can think of it as an API app. So it's calling an API exposed from the API app. And because of API has a unified way to expose the API definition via Swagger, and Logic App understands Swagger. So this is how they do the handshake. And we're going to handle the authentication for you automatically so that, let's say you want to talk to Salesforce, you just log into Salesforce. Like, you don't need to configure like OAuth, what is the client ID, what is the client key. But that is managed for the Logic App scenario.
So not only do my API apps not have to think about auth because they're wrapped and they live in a component container that handles auth, but other ones don't either, like Twitter, Facebook, Dropbox.
Right. So if you use them from Logic App, and because Logic App is a trusted system we have, so we handle that from the platform by default. But if you want to say that, let's say you want to use the Salesforce connector from your code, because your code can be anywhere, so we don't really know who you are. So you need to bring in your own Salesforce client ID and key. But in this case, you may still want to use the Salesforce connector because some of the connectors help to reshape the API. Like if the REST API exposed by the third party is not what you want, it's not in the shape you want, then these API apps can help you shape that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if, let's say, you want to talk to some data, some capability, which is on a different protocol, like FTP protocol,
right,
or it's a SQL Server protocol, so we have out-of-box API apps for that, so we can translate FTP or SQL Server into REST API calls, so you can just call them through REST API. So kind of a consistent interface.
All right, well, how do we call one of these from Visual Studio then?
Right, so so first I'm going to show you, like, this thing is real. I'm going to show you how to call this from Postman.
All right.
So here's the URL of the API app that I just showed you.
Okay.
So let's zoom in a little bit. So this is the sales record one. And you can see that it is actually under the AzureWebsites.net domain. So this is because we're hosting on Azure website.
Right.
And we do API/API/get records. If I click send, you can see that this is returning the data pretty fast. So I'm returning some random,
fake data.
Fake data.
Sure.
Um, So showing you the customers and the sales record, et cetera.
Okay.
So the way to call it from Visual Studio is that, you know, from Visual Studio, you can click new project. So first of all, from Visual Studio, you can create an API app. So you go into web, you click this, you click ASP.NET web application. And in here, you can see that, hey, there is an API app, Azure API app template. So if you click OK, this will create an API app project for you. Like, it's very, very similar to a regular web API project, just with a few tweaks about API app, but all the kind of the similar, all the similar project structure of web API, it's stewed there.
So it is an ASP.NET web API with a little bit of metadata that tells Azure about it.
Yes. Yes, and a way to consume it. So I'm gonna cancel this. All right. I think I accidentally. So I need to. I need to open this one again. So the way to consume it. Let me actually show you this. So the way to consume it. So let me actually create a console project. It's just easier. So I'm creating a console project over here. And then the way to consume it is that you can right-click the console project. You can say add, and see here there is a add Azure API client.
Mm-hmm.
So click add Azure API client, and here it actually query Azure to say, hey, what are the API apps you have in Azure? And in the dropdown, apparently I have a lot of them. So this is the one that we just showed. So I can so I can pick this guy, and I can click OK. So this will actually download the Swagger API definition and then generate a client SDK in C Sharp using AutoREST.
All right, so this is using AutoREST.
Yes,
we,
this is using AutoREST.
We have another Azure Friday where we talk about that as well.
Yes. So after generation, you can use a strongly typed interface to talk to your API apps.
Mm-hmm. So the API apps sit on top of web apps.
Yep.
They know about Swagger metadata.
Mm-hmm.
The Azure knows about them.
Right.
They live in a component container, so we get authentication for free.
Yep.
And they can participate with things like API management and things like that.
Yes, and things like Logic App.
All right. So we're going to dig more into that and API apps soon here on Azure Friday.